Brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure to be here before you. I'm honored to address all who are listening today. My thoughts are directed primarily to you, my student colleagues, who represent the future of the church and the hope of families in the world. I invite the Holy Ghost to assist us as we consider how the atonement of Christ can help us become strong in response to our God-given weaknesses. Today we will consider how the atonement of Christ can help us become strong in response to our God-given weaknesses. We will discover that our weaknesses are assets because they help us be humble. And when we humbly seek our Heavenly Father, we are endowed with His grace and we become strong in Christ. As a young primary boy, I learned that Heber J. Grant was truly a great man. I think it's important to note that we have a building named on this campus, the Heber J. Grant Building, also known as the Testing Center. Isn't that interesting? We might think of this testing center as not just the testing center, but what about the center for improving ourselves? Or maybe there are days when we might call it the center to know our weaknesses. President Grant served as president of the church from 1918 through 1945 and was ordained an apostle at age 26. Part of his strength was his great determination for making improvements in self-mastery. His father died when he was only a year old, and his widowed mother struggled to provide for him. He was conscientious in helping her and trying to take care of her. When he was older, he wanted to join a baseball team. And the other boys laughed at him, calling him a sissy because he could not throw the ball between the bases. His teammates teased him terribly. He made up his mind that he was going to play with the nine who would win the championship of the territory of Utah. He purchased a baseball and practiced hour after hour, throwing at a neighbor's old barn. Often his arm would ache so much he could hardly sleep at night. He kept on practicing and improving and advancing from one team to another until he finally succeeded in playing on the team that won the territorial championship. Another example of his self-mastery was his determination to have readable handwriting. His penmanship was so poor that when two of his friends looked at it, one said, "That writing looks like hen tracks." "No," said the other, "it looks as if lightning has struck an ink bottle." Heber realized at that point that he could not be of much good to an employer or society if he did not improve his penmanship. He practiced and worked at it persistently. Over the next years, he was offered lucrative jobs and won first prize in a territorial fair and taught penmanship and bookkeeping at the University of Utah. Singing was another challenge for President Grant. As a small child, he could not carry a tune. When he was 10, a music instructor tried to teach him the simplest song and finally gave up in despair. At age 26, when he became an apostle, he asked Professor Sims if he could teach him how to sing. After listening to him, Professor Sims replied, "Yes, you can learn to sing, but I would like to be 40 miles away while you're doing it." This only challenged him to try harder. President Grant one time said, "I have practiced the hymn, Praise God from whom all blessings flow, between 300 and 400 times. And there are only 4 lines, and I cannot sing it yet." It is reported that on a trip with other general authorities, President Grant asked them if he could sing 100 songs on the way. They thought he was joking and said, "Fine, go right ahead." After the first 40, they assured him that if he sang the other 60, they would both have a nervous breakdown. He sang the other 60. By practicing all his life, he made some improvement in singing, but perhaps not as much as in baseball and penmanship, which he mastered. I greatly admire President Grant's faith, courage, and determination to work on his weaknesses. And, like our living prophets on earth today, I appreciate the example of President Grant becoming strong in Christ. President Grant had a favorite quotation from Ralph Waldo Emerson, which he lived by. Quote, "That which we persist in doing becomes easier for us to do, not that the nature of the thing itself is changed, but that our power to do is increased," end quote. From that, I value President Grant's view that our weak nature may not change, but there is a power even a heavenly power, to do important things in spite of that weakness. If you'll permit me, I will speak of my own experience with weakness and what I have learned from the Lord. I've always known that I possess both strengths and weaknesses. Let me tell you about one of my weaknesses. I am often a perfectionist that becomes worried and sometimes obsessed with wanting to do well and look good. Maybe someone who has perfectionistic tendencies sounds ideal since they are known for conscientious, precise, detailed, or practical work. While the attributes listed may appear praiseworthy, they can get in the way. Take it from someone who's been there and tried that. The problem with perfectionism is that no one is perfect now, and therefore creates unrealistic expectations for ourselves and others. I had to chuckle at a bumper sticker I saw the other day. It read, "I would be perfect, but I can't seem to get the walking on water thing down." My weakness is based on the fear of looking bad or performing poorly. For example, as a young boy and a teenager, I was very tall, but my ball-handling abilities were definitely lacking. In fear of looking bad in front of my peers, I often avoided sports and physical activities unless I knew I could show a little talent, which didn't happen very often. Also, I used to hate making phone calls, not because I was shy, but because I didn't want to say something wrong, sound dumb, or take the chance of being seen in a bad light. As a student in college, the attributes of a perfectionist are of benefit when revising a manuscript, but that's about where it ends. Yet they have no place when writing a first draft. Fear of looking bad is a pretty common tendency for many of us, but for me, at times, I became obsessed, anxious, and preoccupied with making sure that I was good, really good. These reactions to fear at times held me back. I did not need to feel this way. When my weakness flared, my primary attention was on me and my performance. This inward perspective often prompted me to be critical of my work and the work of others. It also led to sins which included being selfish, critical of others, frustrated, unloving, and impatient. My self-absorbed fear of looking bad left little room in my heart for love, joy, or peace. Can you understand how my weaknesses cause many pressures, stress, and trials, not only for myself, but also for others? Well, while hard work and personal dedication was helpful to deal with my weakness, only the atonement could fully compensate for my weakness. Once I understood this, things began to change. Let me explain. With the inspired comment of a priesthood leader, I began to more fully understand this personal weakness, the fear of looking bad. Although it was not easy to acknowledge at the time, it gave me reason to go to the Lord. I asked for help to understand my weakness, and I received many answers through the scriptures. Once the Lord began to help me understand my weakness, I began to understand the help I would need from the Lord to deal with it. At first, I prayed the weakness to be taken away, to be removed like sin as one repents. However, it did not go away. Rather, I began to feel peace in knowing the Lord would help me deal with it. I felt humbled and recognized my dependence on the mercy and grace of the Savior. I fully embraced the fact that perfection could not come on my own once the consequences of my weaknesses were being resolved and my fears were lessened. I could feel myself becoming more selfless, more sensitive, easygoing. Through the Lord's grace, I do not take myself too seriously, and I enjoy helping people feel comfortable and happy, and I feel comfortable being me. I witnessed how my weaknesses have helped me become strong in Christ. For example, a few years ago, while serving as a bishop, I had many opportunities to meet with individuals and counsel with them. Time and time again, I felt the Spirit fill my heart and mind with what to say. In these moments, if I had been worried about saying things exactly the right way, with pre-planned precision, the flow of the Lord's Spirit would have been stopped. However, as I relied on the Lord in my weakness, He loosed my tongue and opened my mouth even at the very moment I needed it. Fortunately, through the Lord's tender mercies, He blessed two people in those interviews, the person seeking inspired counsel, and me, that my fears would be softened. Praise the Lord. Now let's just say that although my weakness has not been taken away, it has helped me become strong because it enables me to turn to the Lord and rely on Him and recognize the power of the atonement in my life. For that reason, I've come to refer to my continuing weakness as a sacred struggle. The power of the atonement is designed not only to free us from sin, but also to strengthen us in the presence of our weakness. I have learned to be grateful for my gifts of weakness and acknowledge the Lord has helped me become better, stronger, and happier because of them. As I have studied the scriptures and learned about strengths and weaknesses, I have noticed a pattern that appears over and over again. Today, let's review a scriptural pattern from the words of Moroni in Ether 12:27 and ponder its application to each of our lives. I invite everybody's involvement this morning in reviewing the seminary scripture mastery verse together. I'll give you the beginning phrase, and then I'd like you to join with me in quoting the remainder of the scripture. Are you ready? And if men come unto me, I will. I give unto men weakness, and my grace is sufficient for me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Thank you. From this verse, I'd like to share the 5 A's of finding strength in Christ. As we review the verse, I invite you to consider how to apply these A's to your own circumstances and to your own weaknesses. Here's the pattern for finding strength in the Christ. First, accept Christ's invitation to come to Him. Second, ascertain our God-given weakness. Third, appreciate weakness as a gift to be humble. Four, allow Christ's grace to strengthen and enable us. And five, acknowledge when I am weak, then am I strong. As a background, Moroni was worried that his words would be seen as weak and awkward or that they might be criticized by us in the latter days. The Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing, he said. To this, the Lord reassures the prophet, my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall have no advantage of your weakness. Personally, I think that Moroni is a literary genius and among the great heroes of all time. Yet, at the time he lived, Moroni was concerned that his writings may not in some way measure up, a sort of weakness. The first step in finding strength in Christ is to accept Christ's invitation to come to him. In Ether 12:27, we read, if men come unto me. The Lord always provides an invitation to us when he wants to bless us. The Lord loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to choose to come to him. Coming unto Jesus is the source of being happy and is the test of our existence. So, when we choose to come to him, he will give us what we need. Once we accept Christ's invitation to come to him, we are ready to ascertain our God-given weaknesses. Moroni teaches, I will show unto them their weakness. With the Lord's help, we must recognize and understand our weakness. The condition of being mortal and lacking ability, strength, or skill is the definition of a weakness. Weaknesses exist in our lives because we live in an imperfect state as natural or mortal men and women. Examples of weaknesses include being disorganized or short-tempered, having a tendency toward a personality challenge, a defect or failing in athletics, music, public speaking, or writing, or a challenge with physical or financial circumstances. However, these weaknesses need not be seen as liabilities. In reality, these and other weaknesses can be assets because of what they may do for us. Now, let me make a clarification here. There is a distinct difference between weakness and sin. Sin is a conscious act that violates God's law, and sinners often desire to hide or mask them from others. Weaknesses are not choices, but are hallowed gifts from God, and thus are not sins. God-given weaknesses do not require repentance, since they are gifts to help us rely humbly upon God. Fortunately, the atonement is always available for you and me when we depend upon him because of our weaknesses and sins. Thus, our weaknesses become another important way for us to rely upon the Lord's atonement throughout our lives. I love the prophet Joseph Smith. This very building we are in honors him too. I honor him for his example and his dedication to the Lord and to the restoration of the gospel. I find great comfort in knowing that even this incredible prophet struggled through his weaknesses. 3 years following the young prophet's visitation of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, Joseph was humbled by his persecutions he had been experiencing. In fact, Joseph exclaimed, "I often felt condemned for my weaknesses and imperfections." Isn't it wonderful that none of us are exempt from weaknesses? They truly are a gift from God. Once we accept Christ's invitation to come to Him and ascertain our God-given weaknesses, the third step in finding strength in Christ is learning to appreciate our weaknesses as a gift to be humble. I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. We are each blessed by our Heavenly Father with gifts of strength and gifts of weakness. Each type of gift is a prized possession. Sometimes we may want only the kind of gifts that are recognized as strengths. But a life of all strengths would actually be quite dull and would not allow us to grow in the ways the Lord desires. It is clear from the scriptures that God gives men weaknesses. God knows our weaknesses and promises, "He that is weak among you hereafter shall be made strong." However, some may mistakenly believe that if we follow the Lord, then everything will become easier and less problematic. Living the gospel does not ensure against challenge, but it provides an assurance when it does come. We may wonder why a loving Heavenly Father wants us to see our weakness. Heavenly Father wants to bless us and help us grow. That is the point of mortality. As we see and recognize our weaknesses, we are humbled and we turn to the Lord for help. I am reminded of a humorous story told by Sherry Dew. She tells of a mother of 8 children who one afternoon is briefly frazzled with weakness as she worked with her young children. She called her husband for comfort at that difficult moment. With humor in her voice, she asked her husband, "Tell me again why we had 8 kids?" To which he replied, "The Lord knew we could handle 7 children, so He gave us one more." This story may relate to our weaknesses. Perhaps the Lord gives us weaknesses, plus sometimes a little bit more, so that we can grow and stretch and become who He wants us to become. We can grumble about our weakness, we can try to ignore it, or we can embrace the challenge to be stretched and grow. Weaknesses are all about our humility, not about liabilities. When we actively approach our weaknesses in humility and with grace, our mortal journey will be rewarding with indescribable glimpses of eternal joy. The key is to be humble, seek the Lord for help, and glory in the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, let's continue reading Moroni's counsel in the book of Ether. "If men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. My grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me." If we are willing to humble ourselves, then the Lord promises, "My grace is sufficient." In the Bible dictionary, grace is defined as a strengthening and enabling power, a divine means of help or strength given through the bounteous mercy and love of Jesus Christ. The connection between humility and grace is critical, because when there is sufficient humility in us, Christ pours down sufficient grace to compensate for what we lack. Thus, through the Lord's grace, He purges, cleanses, heals, and strengthens us. When Elder David A. Bednar was newly sustained as an apostle, he declared that he was among the weakest of the world. Yet he shared the significance of the Lord's grace. Quote, "The enabling and strengthening aspect of the atonement helps us to see and to do and to become good in ways that we could never recognize or accomplish with our own limited mortal capacity," end quote. The final and fifth step to finding strength in Christ is to acknowledge, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Moroni reminds us in verse 27, "For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." Now, just a few verses later, the Lord promises Moroni in verse 37, Because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. Wow, this is a hopeful and inspiring message. This refining and polishing process is among the most sacred experiences we can hope for. This process is not about being weak or infirm because of weakness. It is about being made strong through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Please remember, humility and grace qualifies us for the atonement. The prophet Joseph's experience in Liberty Jail illustrates how profound humility leads to profound grace and eternal blessings. For 4 months, the prophet and several others unjustly experienced severe struggles in the miserable circumstances of the Liberty Jail. But after Joseph's heartfelt pleading, the Savior comforted him often and reassured him with the words, "Know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." Thus, the Lord focused on blessing each prisoner in his heart and soul while not changing the physical circumstances until several weeks later. Regarding weakness, the role of the atonement is to transform us, not our weaknesses. We may feel imprisoned at times by our weakness, trial, sin, or pain. But the way the atonement helps us is by changing us, and not necessarily by taking away weaknesses, trials, sin, or pain. The Lord's goal is to strengthen, build, and grow our capacity through the atonement, a process we may call perfection. We learn and grow from our experiences, weaknesses, and our trials. While some weaknesses are able to be overcome, most weaknesses stay with us for many years or throughout mortality. Weaknesses that linger can provide defining moments in becoming the men and women God has sent us here to become. Additionally, the atonement is available to pay the effect of our weaknesses upon others. Weaknesses manifest themselves between couples or families are probably the most important for us to deal with. That said, it is also important for each of us to be tolerant with others' weaknesses. Thus, in Heavenly Father's glorious plan, our weaknesses and challenges can keep us holding fast to the Lord, feeling supported by the Lord, and experiencing indescribable joy, peace, and love from the Lord. So, as a review, the 5 A's for finding strength in Christ are: 1, accept Christ's invitation to come to Him. 2, ascertain our God-given weaknesses. 3, appreciate weaknesses as a gift to be humble. 4, allow Christ's grace to strengthen and enable us. And 5, acknowledge, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now let me share one of my favorite scriptures pertaining to weaknesses found in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. In his letters to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul provides a personal way to see a weakness that was given to him by Heavenly Father. In verse 7, he provides a descriptive representation of his weakness. Quote, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." In the Apostle Paul's case, he knew that humility was the reason for receiving the gift, but because of his metaphor of a thorn, it does not appear that he wants this weakness to stick around. In verse 8, we learn the response to his unwanted gift. As we see in this verse, think of the similarity to what Moroni taught in Ether 12. Paul said, quote, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." I take great comfort in knowing that Paul's original feeling was to ask God to help him get rid of this weakness, even to the point of asking Heavenly Father 3 times to take it away. However, after 3 pleadings to Heavenly Father, Paul recognizes the Lord's answer in verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And now my favorite part. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Please notice the marvelous transformation that Paul experienced as he humbly approached Heavenly Father with his weakness. Because of the peace, love, comfort, and strength granted him through the atonement of Christ, he learned to gladly welcome his weaknesses. Then in verse 10, we can learn the following redeeming promise. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul's powerful example illustrates the wonder and majesty of the Lord in helping each of us become strong through our weaknesses. In conclusion, I testify that once you and I come to know our God-given weaknesses, we will begin to see the marvelous plan of the Lord and increasingly view the atonement in a new and wonderful way. The atonement is the source of the strength we need. This divine power will become active as we rely on the Savior through humility and grace. Then we can testify as the Apostle Paul declares, I take pleasure in my infirmities for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I encourage you to start today. Accept Christ's invitation to come to him and begin your own journey and experience of seeing the atonement's influence on your weaknesses. I encourage each of us, to pay attention to the feelings and impressions we have received. If you have not already done so, may I encourage you to write down those spiritual impressions and make a determination to follow the promptings you have received? Paying attention to those impressions is more important than the words you have heard. I testify that the Lord is ready now to be a growing part of our lives. He seeks to do this by helping us overcome sin. He seeks to provide comfort and assistance when we face trials, struggles, or challenges. And as we have considered today, he also seeks to be a part of our lives by helping us become strong through our weaknesses. I am humbled and profoundly grateful for the grace and love that I have felt when I have turned to the Lord with these needs. With all my heart, I know he lives and has the capacity to lead us back to our Heavenly Father. We can become perfect in Christ and thus be filled with the Lord's blessings of joy, peace, and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.